I'm back with a brand new series called Teresa Caputo, Raising Spirits. Check out Teresa Caputo, Raising Spirits on Lifetime every Thursday night. Check your local listings.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Teresa Caputo. You might know me as the Long Island Medium. Why do people call me that? Well, I talk to the dead. My job is to help spirit communicate to their loved ones here in the physical world that they are safe and at peace, and that there is more to life than this. This podcast gives me the opportunity to share my gift with more people than ever before, and to give all of you a better understanding of how I communicate with spirit. So today I had the pleasure of sharing my gift with Nathan Lane. I know some of you might find this hard to believe, but I really don't know anything about Nathan Lane. And what I mean about that, I mean, of course I know the name, but I don't know anything about him personally. I mean, I just simply do not research people, and that's including celebrities. I'm not here to prove anything to anybody. I just want people to believe in themselves, the things that they're sensing and feeling, and if they're not, to be open to that, or maybe to look for those signs and symbols, and to really let people know that there is truly more to life than this. So my wish for people, especially if they're struggling with an afterlife, a faith, whatever it may be, that they walk away looking at things a little bit differently, a little bit more positive. I try to give, and I want everyone to have the same experience with the same amount of respect and integrity. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you. How did you wind up as a psychic?
Oh, so well,
real estate didn't work out. What happened?
Well, I consider myself a medium. I didn't know.
I'm a large myself, but hey, how many times have you heard that crummy joke?
A lot.
Okay.
It never gets old. It never gets old. I could give you a little background on how I came to be where I am today. I've been seeing spirits since the age of 4. For me, it was normal. I thought everyone was seeing and sensing the things that I was. And I come from a very spiritual family, but also a faithful family. I am a practicing Catholic. And my mom never made a big deal about the things that I was saying. So, it took me many years I struggled with my gift, because I am a practicing Catholic, and I couldn't understand why I would be blessed with this gift. And then I struggled with, well, who's going to want to come and see a medium? So I said to God, I put my gift in his hands, and I said, if this is what I was meant to do here in the physical world, then I want to use my gift to help people to heal and move on after the loss of a loved one in a positive way. And that is it. I don't want to know anything else. I don't need to know details. I just need to know the messages, and that's it. And I only channel souls that walk in God's white light. So I know that my gift is protected from a higher power. And here I am, almost 20 years later, still doing what I do. And now I have the opportunity through Zoom to deliver healing messages all over the world.
So how wonderful that you've found it and that it's been so fulfilling. Now, you've now mentioned a lot that you're a practicing Catholic. Now, I'm an ex-Catholic. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of organized religion and left Catholicism a long time ago, and I would call myself an atheist. Does that have an effect on this?
No, you can have your own beliefs.
Even though we're going to be talking to people who only walk in the light?
You have to understand, if you need to hear something from a departed loved one, they're going to use this opportunity. And I only share with people why my faith. I was brought up very different. I do not talk about politics and I don't really talk about religion. I tell people my background so they understand, because spirit will show me things in my frame of reference, things that I've experienced here in the physical world to be able to relay messages to you. That's how my communication works with the souls of the departed. So what happens is I see things and feel things, and a lot of it's just a knowing, and they show me flashes of things.
Right.
So that's why I share that with people. You have to take the messages and place them on how they fit in your life and how they connect to your departed loved ones. And I'm the first one to say that what I do is crazy. There's no way that someone can communicate with people that have died. So I respect the fact that there might be a lot of common things that spirit might refer to and talk about. That's not my fault nor spirit's fault that there are only so many different ways that people can die and common burden and guilt that we carry after the loss of a loved one. So what I've asked your loved ones to do with every healing message they have me deliver here today, they have to validate it with something completely unique to you. So it might be, they might make reference to something that happened years ago to remind you of happier times. They might bring up something that has happened since they've died to validate through every breath that you take and every milestone you achieve, they are with you in spirit. They are not missing out on anything. Do you have any questions before we get started?
Okay. And I'm sure you deal with this on a daily basis. There's, a certain amount of skepticism.
Oh, of course.
You know, that about something like this. Although there is that part of you, of course, that would love to communicate with people, loved ones that have passed, and so there's so that sort of fights the skepticism, that we could easily say, oh, you looked me up on Wikipedia and found out some things.
If I had time to look up people and Wikipedia can't even get my age right. I announce a daily basis that I'm 53. They say I'm 54, possibly 53. So I don't believe, I really don't put too much stock in things like that. But this is what you have to understand. My wish for you, Nathan, is not that you believe in mediums. I want you to believe and know that the things that you sense and feel that go on around you that might remind you of your loved ones or think of them, to know that that is them. You still have this soul connection with your departed loved ones. I just heard in my head, whether you like it or not. So this should be very interesting. That the only thing when someone passes away, we lose that physical connection. That soul bond can never and will never be broken. And that's it. And if you leave this reading or this session with anything more than that, then I feel spirit exceeded any expectation that I have of them. I read in a very different way. I read with respect for the souls of the departed and also for the people that are receiving messages. So I am going to start. I'm going to start because as I started to enter the other side, there was a mother and father energy that stepped forward. They held hands. So that means that they were directly connected here in the physical world. So sometimes if it's not your parents, it could be grandparents. But I feel like the father is stepping forward more so. And I feel that he was young when he departed. So young for me is anyone that left the physical world before we feel their time. I am having difficulty breathing. And he is restricting my throat area. So when I feel the restriction in the chest, it means that they passed from heart, lungs, or chest, or there was something with the breath with his departure. The restriction of the throat can mean two things. What I first felt was that I didn't have this opportunity to speak or to say goodbye. And then... I actually felt like there was something restricting my throat. So I don't know if there was something... down the throat or if there was like a throat cancer or something with the throat?
Well, my father died when I was around 11, and he essentially drank himself to death. He died of cirrhosis of the liver.
And he was not able to communicate with you. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I do feel that your dad takes a sense of responsibility for his departure. Not only for his departure, he showed me the street corner with a child sitting on it and then the sun going down. That's my symbol for where someone might feel with a parent that they were not able to be there for them in the way that they needed them to be. Now, because you just expressed to me that your dad passed at the age of when you were young, sometimes yeah. Someone might feel that way because of they lost him at such a young age. Some people might feel, you expressed to me that he passed of alcoholism. It could be a culmination of reasons why.
Well, he was relatively young. I mean, I think he was in his late 50s when he died.
Oh, he was a spring chicken.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I think you, I want this to be taken as a very serious message of him validating that his soul has seen how he was not able to be there for you because of his actions when he was here. Was there a separation prior to his departure?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
My mother had tried to help him get him into AA.
He just had me write selfish. I doodle when I channel. So, and this is what he is taking responsibility for. He's taking,
This would be a first.
Well, yeah. But I'm going to say this to you, Nathan, though. I never in my speech, never say to someone, spirit will step forward and acknowledge if they've learned lessons. I was already getting that during my speech to you of what was going to happen today or what was going to take place. This is normally the point in a reading where I would explain to someone when a soul leaves, they have to review their life here in the physical world. They have to relive their actions, their choices, their decisions, and they have to feel what it was like for us here in the physical world. You, possibly even your mom. He had to relive how his choices affected her, how his, I just heard, selfish choices and decisions and the ability not to unconditionally love, how that affected my family. So I know what it was like. I felt what it was like for you. And for that, I am sorry. This is what happens. And, you know, sometimes I say, you know what? It does. It sucks. Why couldn't they learn that lesson here? Why does it have to be on the other side? Some souls don't learn the lesson on the other side either. And your father says the one thing, especially when Nathan was a child, now you're the only one that's going to know this, growing up, you wondered if your father would be proud of you. Because when a soul stands and they salute me, it means two things. It means they served our country and or we did. And or they're acknowledging how proud they are of us and who we've become. Do you have the one picture of your father? When Spirit shows me a black and white photo, I asked your father to validate that I interpret everything correctly. And he showed me a black and white photo, burnt edges all around it. It's just my symbol for that we have one thing, has no monetary value, one special thing. Maybe it is a picture of your father.
Yeah, there's a picture. There's a few pictures of him, but there's an old black and white photo of him just standing on a stoop where we used to live in front of the apartment building.
So know that he knows that you've kept that picture. When you look at that picture, the soul is with you. Your father actually made me feel like that there were times growing up you felt or sensed his soul with you. Or like, do you ever like smell a cologne and there would be no reason why you would smell it? Or if nobody was smoking and say your departed loved one smoked and then all of a sudden you smelt cigarette smoke just for a split second. This is the way that we can sense and feel a soul of the departed.
Cologne. I don't associate I don't associate it with cologne. Alcohol, yes. Cologne, no.
It's just my symbol. When Spirit shows me an Old Spice bottle, it's just my symbol for that we smell. And, and the reason why they show me Old Spice, because then it's a male. When they show me gardenias, it's my symbol for you. We smell a mother energy. So it's just all different signs and symbols that I have. It doesn't specifically have to be the cologne. I don't care what it is. And there would be no reason why you would smell it. It validates that the soul is with you at that exact moment.
Mm.
Your mom is a little annoyed. She's like, I thought you would have seen me first. And I said, well, I saw you there. I said, but he stepped forward. And I kind of felt like that your dad, I almost felt, all right, I'm going to need you to interpret this how you feel you need to. I almost felt like your dad felt that he wasn't sure if he deserved this opportunity. And I tried to explain to him that if he learned the lessons and has things to say to you that will bring you comfort, peace, whatever it may be, some people don't want to hear from a loved one. And that's not up to me. I say whatever it is that I sense and feel, see or hear. And because I could see your mother like hitting him and like trying to push him out of the way and like trying to send him to the back of the room. And I feel that there's something that your dad is also showing me that he, again, never did in his life. Take responsibility, be respectful, or know his place. I don't understand why he uses the word selfish. It's not a word that Spirit typically uses. So I find that interesting. And every time I ask him about that, he says, I just didn't know how to unconditionally love. Does that make sense? Or is that something that you would understand? Or is that something that sounds like him?
Well, it's a little more sophisticated. The notion of unconditional love. You know, the fact is he was just a very self-destructive alcoholic and just wasn't there at all. I mean, at a certain point, you know, he was someone who started to drink heavily late in life after I was born, actually. And so he was rarely there. And then when he was either drunk or sleeping it off.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother, had the responsibility of raising three children, mm-hmm. essentially on her own. It was working. And then eventually what happened when you talked about the separation before his death, she made the decision after many, many years to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to another apartment, and he stayed in that apartment until the whatever the rent ran out, and then he okay. essentially drank himself to death.
Before you started talking, he had me write, was never your fault. I feel for the first time that your father takes full responsibility for his actions and not blaming someone, something, or a situation, whatever it may be. For the first time, I feel he is taking full responsibility for his actions and non-actions that caused and attributed to his passing and losing his family. And your mom, I feel like it's just how I feel she is. She's this very, she's put together, such a strong woman, and doesn't take any shenanigans.
You know, she was a fragile person, actually, who was thrust into this position of raising three kids on her own and going to work every day, mm-hmm. and trying to manage that on a small salary,
mm-hmm.
and with the help of her mother, our mm-hmm. grandmother. You know, and eventually, when my grandmother died, and then my father died, and then she, my mother, had what they referred to as a nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
She was hospitalized. You know, there was a long period where she was in and out of mental mm-hmm. hospitals. It was diagnosed as different things, an overactive thyroid, and eventually, she was diagnosed as manic depressive, mm-hmm. or as it's been upgraded to bipolar disorder. But it took a long time, a period of about 4 or 5 years, where she was up and down, and then finally it was diagnosed as such, and she was given lithium, and that sort of got her back on track. So she had been strong for a very long time, mm-hmm. and then I think those two deaths got to her, mm-hmm. and then whatever, also chemical imbalance, came to the forefront.
But for me to feel how she is strong is the way how maybe she wants you to remember her. That's how I felt her. I didn't see her as a struggling woman. I didn't see her struggling mentally. So validating from the moment the soul leaves the physical body, they leave behind that. This is how she's making me feel how strong she was. And after everything that had happened in her life, she says, you're right. After the death, I feel the death of her mother was the downfall to her.
Oh, yeah. They were very close.
And it was like little by little things chipped away at her soul, who she was. But now how she comes forward now is this strong, independent woman where I don't take any shenanigans. That's the strength of her soul. Because I have to say this to you, she like allowed your dad, because there are souls that will keep another soul at bay, that won't let them pass. They will stand in front and I can see all the other souls behind them, but I can't see or hear anything from them because that soul is so strong. It's like your mother allowed your dad to step forward and to say what he needed to say. And well, nothing to do with him.
I'm glad they're finally getting along.
Spirit looks at things very differently from the other side. Very, very yeah. different. And your mom looked at me and she said, after everything that my son has been through, she says, he sits before you, an amazing man, broken in parts of his soul, but an amazing strong man with accomplishments that people will never achieve in a lifetime. And she says, most importantly, knowing how to love and to be loved. She says, because you have found true happiness. Are you married?
Yes.
So you have allowed someone to be able to love you the way that you deserve to be loved. And your mom says, I am so proud of you for that. Because you could have followed a very different road of destruction, of not being able to love, to be loved. And the way that you love, she says, is incredible. It's like you love with your entire soul. I've never said that to someone, so I don't know what that means. But that's something for you to know, or for you to place on how you feel in your relationship, in past relationships. Because I've never had this before, where she says how you've learned to be loved. So I'm going to interpret it this way. I don't know if there was a time, and again, this is your own personal feelings and what you went through, that you kind of put yourself and put walls and blocked up your soul, your heart, just you in general, and kind of kept people at safe distances because you didn't want to be hurt or disappointed or wouldn't know how to handle someone. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is what your mom meant by that, and that you've allowed these walls to kind of go down. You still might be a little not so trusting at first with people or what have you, but then you've allowed yourself to open your soul to really know what it is like to be loved unconditionally. People love you because of you, not because where you've come from, who you are, but because of you, because you're a good person. Do you do like a lot of donate to foundations, or do you have a foundation? Or do you do a lot of fundraising?
Well, I'm on the board of Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS. I've done charity work. Yes.
But did you create a foundation on your own?
No.
Or like a scholarship, or did you do something for mental awareness?
Yes, I did recorded a public service thing for that was about mental health, and yes.
So no, your mom says, I am very, very proud of you. Because your mom is gone for some time. She wouldn't have known about that, correct?
Yeah, she's a long time.
So know that her soul was with you when you did that. And showing me that you did that in honor or in memory of her. Even though that might have been your personal thought, whatever it may be, know that she knows of it and wants to thank you for that. A lot of times, spirit, even if we don't get an opportunity to do something, we just think about or want to do something like that, know that that means the world to them. Know that it means is we actually do it. This is weird. I don't know what this means. Do you not know where your dad is buried? It like came out of nowhere, and your mom literally looked at me and she kind of rolled her eyes at me. And I said, I don't know what that is. And he says, tell my son that it's okay. And then he showed me my symbol for where someone doesn't visit someone's final resting place or how they were laid to rest. Like, it's okay. It's fine. He had me like in the cemetery and I felt lost. I didn't know where he was. So
I'm going to, I'll be honest and say, I believe he's in Holy Name Cemetery, and which is in, I think it's in Jersey City, but
that's fine.
I could be wrong. I'm not sure. To be honest, I don't, in terms of visiting graves, I have not done that. I have not visited my mother's grave. She's sort of down near Princeton, the Princeton area. So I have not visited their graves.
And your dad, fair enough to say, you really don't even know where he's buried.
Yeah, well, okay. that's in keeping with his entire life. I never knew quite where he was.
That's fine. Spirit doesn't place so much emphasis on things like that. Doing things like that is for us. We feel better if we go. Some people like to camp out and have picnics. Some people never, ever go. It's right. Spirit's way of just validating that their soul is with you. They know of the man that you've become.
Right.
And thanking you for your thoughts. So when you think of them, even if it might not be such a wonderful memory, know that that helps their soul on the other side and that their soul is with you at the exact moment. A young male started to step forward.
A young male?
Yeah. So again, young for me is anyone that left the physical world before we feel their time. I do feel tragically. When I taste blood, that's my symbol for that someone passed sudden or unexpected, tragically, or sometimes it can be of a blood disease or a blood disorder. But I tasted the blood and I got hit in the back of the head. So I'm going to interpret this energy as like a brother's energy. Even if you didn't lose a brother, it could be someone like a brother, whether it be a good friend, a cousin.
You know, it's been a difficult year for everybody.
Yeah.
But in the last year, there's been, for me, there has been a lot of death. Mm-hmm. First, my very close friend of mine and a mentor and certainly an early champion of my work was the great playwright Terrence McNally, who died from COVID.
Okay.
And then, which was followed by an old friend of over 30 years, the wonderful actor named Brian Dennehy, who died after complications from surgery.
Okay.
I don't know if you deal in, pets, but we had a French bulldog named Mabel whose health was in decline and took a serious turn for the worse. And we had to make the horrible decision to say goodbye. He was 14.
Did you write something about the gentleman that departed from COVID?
Yes.
He saluted you and said, I want to thank you for the amazing and beautiful tribute that you gave me.
Right. Well, that was, I wrote a piece for Time magazine about him and our friendship and collaboration.
So you would understand a brother energy, correct?
You would
think of him like a brother. What was with his hands? Did he have strong hands, or was there something specific that you remember about his hands?
No, I don't.
Usually spirit, when they show me a holding of the hands, it means they want to go back to the day that they died. But then I immediately felt like someone grabbed my hand and I felt a strong hold. And I felt there was something specific about his hands. So I don't know what that means. If he had big hands, if he had strong, I don't know. He just took red roses and handed them here in the physical world. So that means that he wanted to send his love to, was he married?
Yes. Yes, to a wonderful man, Tom Curtihy, a producer.
So know that he's taking the red roses and handing them to him, sending his love and devotion, because when spirit does that to here in the physical world, it's to their significant other. Did you not even know he was sick?
Oh, no, I did. He was a cancer survivor. He had lung cancer and survived. And then in the last couple of years, he was cancer-free for a long time, and then it came back. And so in the last couple of years of his life, he was dealing with chemo, and then so he was vulnerable, and then got COVID, and then that's...
The reason why I asked you that was because he literally stood in front of me and went, can you believe I died? Can you believe like, this is how I died. Can you believe this is how I died?
You know, his husband, Tom, said, who was with him at the end, said, you know, when they talked about this, about COVID, and he he's a famous major American playwright and he said, this fucking disease is going to steal my thunder, which is typical of him. He was very, very witty, funny man, and even so, even at the end, he was able to joke about.
So I would ask Tom about the hands if there was something specific. You know, whether he might say, "I took a picture of us holding hands. I remember holding his hands, his hip." Yeah. It'll be something. I need spirit to talk about things that are so crazy. It's like, how would you even know that?
Right.
To validate that the soul is at peace, and more importantly, safe. I love how he could, and again, that's just my symbol. When someone stands in front of me and says, can you believe I died? I can't believe this is how I died. And again, and that is to me sometimes when we didn't know someone was sick, or if it's they died of something that's so crazy. Like, people don't die of a cold, right? After everything I've been through, this is how I die. This is how I'm going to die.
As someone who, you know, survived one plague and then to be brought down by this. Well, that certainly sounds, it sounds like Terrence to say, can you believe I died?
He just said to me, he goes, don't get me wrong. He goes, I'm really pissed that I fucking died. He goes, but I wasn't afraid to die. He says, there's a difference. And then I feel like he's saying some type of like a poem or like something that he always referred to. And it was something I felt it was really inspiring because he just showed me my symbol of reciting something. And it was like, you know what? This is how I want to be remembered. This is my legacy. And I feel like I'm reciting a poem or a phrase or what he would refer to.
Right. Yeah.
So were you just jotting down things about him, or but maybe it was when you wrote the eulogy of the things that everything that you've been through, were you going to pass on something and he encouraged you to take it, a movie or something? And you're like, oh, I don't know. And I felt like he encouraged you to be or to take something or to take that risk or to be like, no, do this. This is perfect for you. Try it.
Well, he certainly did that in my life. I did this production of Angels in America at the National Theater in London, and then we brought it to Broadway. And so initially it was a huge commitment because it's two plays. So it meant going to London for 7 months, which was a long time to be away from home and husband and dog at the time. You know, so I did talk to people about that decision, and, you know, and certainly he encouraged me because it's such a great part.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile.
Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Okay, guys, I'm going to throw it back a bit. You know what I don't miss at all? I do not miss that vicious cycle before my period. I would feel like I was going to crawl out of my skin, sometimes the breakouts, and oh my God, can we talk about the cravings? But now, Estro Control makes it easier to manage PMS. So Estro Control is a formula developed by Happy Mammoth, a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. The way Estro Control eases PMS is quite interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that's where our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves all throughout the month because PMS can rob them of a week of their lives every single month, and that just isn't fair. Estro Control is made specifically for women who are perimenopausal. It is perfect for women that haven't entered menopause yet. In fact, it's amazing for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS can turn into a beast. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SPIRIT at checkout.
As far as your dog, dogs do come through. And what I saw was you waited to the last moment to make that choice and decision. So you did make the right choice. I did feel, were you holding her at the time of her departure as she passed?
Yes, we both were.
She shows me the collar and I see it hanging up. That's just my symbol for that you kept something of hers, that whether it be a toy, a bed, or actually her collar.
Well, we have her ashes,
okay, in
an urn. Is a painting that a good friend did, Reiner Andreessen, a wonderful artist, did a painting of her that hangs on the wall near her ashes.
Was she able to do good tricks?
Yes, she could do your taxes. No, she was not. I mean, she did a few things, you know, sit and.
No, I felt like it was something really cute.
Nothing, you know, fancy.
Okay, well, she showed
to her. They were.
I was shown. They showed me my bulldog, who's here in the physical world. He literally watches TV. He knows when a commercial comes on. When there's a dog, he runs to the TV, watches the TV, talks to the TV. So that has become my symbol that they do something very unique that a dog typically wouldn't do.
Right.
So no, she described the moment of you having to put her down, you holding her. And it's almost like I can feel or hear your heartbeat. So you must have held her close, validating that you waited until the last minute to put her down. Now the blood disease or the blood disorder gentleman, that departed. So there had to be some type of, I don't know if it was a bleed out or an infection of the blood, because I saw it from head to toe. So that means that it had to be something actually with the blood, or there was some type of infection.
I mean, years and years ago, there was a young guy that I was close to who died of AIDS.
Mm-hmm. How did you know him? Because he just said to me, you shaped my life.
We had worked together in a show. We just became very close. I'm not romantically involved, but I certainly loved him.
But I felt like you shaped his life in a sense where he saw things differently because of your perspective, because of you.
Well, that's interesting. He didn't, you know, he did not have a long life.
Mm-hmm.
Was very young when he died.
Were you going to do something for someone? I don't know if you were going to write something about somebody's life. This is besides a eulogy. Like, I feel like it's, you were thinking of writing someone's, it was their accomplishments, who they became. And I don't know if it was going to become a movie or a play.
I mean, just recently I sat down and because we've been, because of the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
people have said, well, this is the moment to write your memoirs. So I did sit down the other day and sort of made notes about if I, you know, writing a memoir, what would it entail?
Okay. So no, I'm going to say they, I see five souls in front of me. Know that they were with you at that exact moment. This doesn't mean that this is what you have to do or that's what you should do. It's validating that they were with you and knowing of the things that you're doing. I want to talk about, did you have a dream or some type of spiritual experience, whether you thought you saw something? Because I saw three times my symbols for when someone sees something or has a dream, a visitation from someone that has died, and we're either questioning it. We don't think that that was real. How could that be? They put me in a hallway with three bedrooms and a bathroom. And then I saw the shadow go like this from room to room. That is just my symbol for that you thought that you felt or that you saw something.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, you know, no, I didn't see anything. And dreams, I tend to forget.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I can't think of one where that was happening.
So sometimes when spirit is so specific on how you might see them,
right?
If you don't, it's my symbol for that you feel, how come I'm not feeling these things? Do you not believe in an afterlife? Are you struggling with how can it be?
I mean, you know, it'd be lovely if there was an afterlife. No, I don't believe there is.
Okay. Did you think...
And yet, here we are talking to dead people.
Listen, I'm the first one to say that's crazy. How could there be an afterlife? How could this be? How could they know certain things? How could this happen?
Right.
I don't know. I'll find out when I get there. And you know what, Nathan? If there is nothing, I'm not going to know about it, right?
Correct.
Pay attention.
I hope you're right.
Pay attention to things that you smell. Maybe it is a whiff of alcohol and there's no reason why you would smell it. Whoever it is that you think of in that moment, know that that is their soul that is with you at that moment. They just had me right. You heard, did you think you heard someone call your name or you thought you heard something and there was, that nobody was there or nobody called your name?
No.
Okay. Don't be surprised if this happens. You're not crazy. It's not your imagination. Your mom just said something interesting. She said, I know there's other souls here, she says, but I want my son to know. Are you the oldest?
No, I'm the youngest.
Because she said to me, my son, my son, my son. She says, as much as he is a part of me, is me, she says, he has worked so hard to be so strong, to not hear, to not maybe see things. So I am going to say this, please look for those things or take notice to things that you typically wouldn't. Did you mention to me about someone that had a surgery and then passed?
Yes, my friend Brian Dennehy.
Okay, because I kept seeing my symbol for when someone says, if I didn't go in for the surgery, I still wouldn't have survived. So there would have been a different burden and or guilt connected to my departure. So if someone feels, oh, if he never had that surgery, he never would have died. Or that was the start of his downfall. Because I thought I was writing something about an infection from a blood. So I don't know. Was the downfall of from the surgery from when he departed?
Yes, he had a complicated surgery, and then I believe sepsis set in, and that was sort of what took him. But he was, you know, he was 80.
Oh, God bless.
He was 82.
So whether someone might feel, oh, if he never had that, he never would have died. He's showing me my semaphore where he did everything that he could, where there would be no burden or guilt left to his departure. Do you know someone that actually took their own life?
Oh, dear.
Doesn't have to be recent. Just acknowledging that the soul is present and taking responsibility for the passing. Did you lose a sister or like a sister-in-law?
Well, there was recently there, my oldest brother's ex-wife passed away. Yes.
Okay. I just need someone to step forward that he would not expect to come forward today, that he wouldn't think that would, if there was an afterlife, that would step forward.
Yeah. Well, no, we were not close.
That's okay. And you would not expect her to come forward?
No.
Okay. Can you connect with the East Coast? I don't know where you are.
The East Coast.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
So can you connect with like Connecticut or like Westchester? It would have to be like something. I'm on Long Island, so it would have to just be like north of Long Island.
I'm in East Hampton, but if it's Connecticut, Brian Dennehy, you know, lived in Connecticut.
Okay. I know that might sound silly, but I'm just asking for validations of the soul's presence. I want to talk about the gentleman that passed from COVID, though.
Terrence McNally.
Were you speaking to his husband?
Yeah, I saw him yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Okay. So he showed me conversations, and so know that his soul was present for it. There has to be something about, I felt like he keeps wanting me to go back to the moment that he died.
Uh-huh.
Because in the very beginning of the session, I had said to you, the breath, and I feel like I could watch someone breathe. Right. And he said to me more than once that he wasn't afraid to die. He couldn't believe that this is how he was going to leave the physical world. But there was something where he wasn't afraid. And I don't know if he had this moment of like, well, if this is it, then this is it. I can't go on like this.
He and Tom had driven to Florida. They had a condo there into Sarasota. And the night they got there, and then the night before this all happened, I think Tom, they had a long talk about everything. And yes, I think he felt, because of his health, and not that he was expecting COVID, but because of how what he had been going through, he felt it, you know, it was certainly a possibility at he was 80.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, they had a real heart-to-heart about all of that, life and death stuff. And then the next day, he had to go to the hospital. He eventually was diagnosed as COVID. And so for a day or so, Tom couldn't be with him.
Right.
They had to communicate through the phone. Mm-hmm. And so that was quite terrifying.
And difficult.
And then they allowed, which was unusual, they allowed Tom in to be with him at the end. And there was an app they had where Tom could communicate to close friends what was happening. So he let us know what was happening and when it was happening. And then he asked everyone, because the end was imminent, and he asked everyone to, Terrence was a huge opera fan, and in particular of the singer Maria Callas.
So
he asked everyone to play a little Maria Callas, and that, and sort of Terrence left listening to Callas singing. So it was incredibly moving, and I'm just very grateful that Tom was there with him.
And I find that interesting, because especially in the wake of COVID, people aren't allowed or cannot be with their loved ones. And the fact that he was talking about this, the holding of the hands and watching Tom take his last breath, validating that he wasn't afraid to die. And he keeps showing me all of like his legacy, just showing me like accomplishments. And really, it's almost like, okay, I can't believe this is how I died. This is what I died from. But look at everything that I've accomplished in my life. And never took one thing for granted. I find that incredibly strong. And you need to find out about the hands because he keeps showing me the hands and I can feel. It's so interesting though, because I can feel the strength in his hand. So whether if it was something what Tom said and he opened up his eyes for the last moment, maybe it was where Tom said something and he squeezed his hand.
Well, I'll ask Tom about all of this.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I always say when spirit gives messages, it's what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And I don't know if you weren't expecting to hear from your parents, maybe your father. I don't know. Maybe you never even gave it a second thought.
No, I mean, obviously I thought it could come up, but I was thinking about the people I recently lost.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I chose to share with you on how incredibly moved I felt from that message from your dad without realizing or knowing what it would be like to, as a child, to lose their father. But then after you shared with how he really wasn't there up until he passed, there are certain things that I can't get off of where they said, you learned how to love and to be loved. I can't let go of that. I found that, for some reason, powerful. So I guess it's just an attribute to you, the man that you've become, not so much career-wise, just as a person, of everything that you overcome and who you are.
Well, that's very moving.
All right, this is going to sound weird. I was just starting to come back and I felt all of a sudden was standing at a stove and I felt that it was from your grandmother. And I was standing at a stove with a big pot. So I don't know if she's trying to recall a memory that you have of her and things that you, as a child growing up, times that you shared with her. Usually when spirit shows me a big pot, it's my symbol for that someone kept their pots and things like that. And I don't think that you have your grandmother's pot.
She was a great cook, you know, and I was very close to her, and she really sort of helped raise me. So I spent a lot of time with her. She was a great cook.
So that's something that you remember of her, of you being in the kitchen with her and cooking.
Absolutely.
Okay. And do you have actually some of the recipes, or were you trying to remember a certain recipe, or you were going to make something that she always made, or you were talking about it?
No, she, she wasn't someone who wrote.
They were all here.
Yeah, it was just throwing things in a pot. I don't think she wrote it down.
So that's probably why I said to you, were you thinking about it, or like, if there was, there are certain things that I make around the holidays for my loved ones that they always made. So sometimes with the recipes, you know, they always threw in a little pinch of this or a little pinch of that. And I almost felt like I was having a conversation with someone like, my grandmother used to make this. I wonder what that recipe would be, or you thought about it.
When I think of her, I think about her as cooking.
Look, it doesn't have to be something that just happened. It could simply be that's how you visualize her. I mean, I was literally starting to leave the other side. And I saw this vision of her standing there with a big pot at the stove and you standing next to her. So when you remember that, those moments, know that her soul is with you at those moments.
All the souls will get to eat tonight.
They will, because they're very hungry on the other side.
Yeah.
you don't even think there is another side. So,
Hey, I'm going along for the ride.
So
no, it's very interesting, and you know, it's very powerful, and yeah, I hope it's all true.
Yeah, but listen, this is about you. All I care about, Nathan, is that you know that there truly is more to life, and that your loved ones are still with you. Loving, guiding, protecting you from the other side, knowing your accomplishments, knowing what you're doing, knowing how you're living your life.
Well, it's a lovely, lovely thought. And yes, a very comforting one. And so.
And I can't wait to hear. I want to hear.
Thank you for sharing your gift.
Thank you. But I want to hear if you do have some spiritual experiences, if you start noticing little things.
Yeah. Well,
I'd be very interested. To hear that.
Either I'll call you or the Ghostbusters. Yeah. I have to start having very spiritual experiences. Well,
yes, I would love to hear. Because sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. Yeah. And they, you know, we start to notice.
You've stirred things up. Now they're, they have a means of communication. So
sometimes it's just us being open to it. I mean, look, you guys know from, you know, watching Long Island Medium or listening to Hey Spirit that I actually like when people can't connect with something right away, because it really does show like that is the soul communicating. And then when they go check with other people and other family members and they're like, yeah, no, that happened. And then they learn something new. I actually love when that happens. And I think I've also noticed this with, this can go both ways, you know, with people that are overly spiritual or people that are so spiritually connected, sometimes it's almost like harder sometimes because they're expecting to hear certain things and they want to hear this and want to hear that. And it's the same thing when someone, if they come in a little bit more guarded or even skeptical, you know, it's like spirit, in a sense, they're working that much harder to validate their presence. I mean, look, at the end of the day, this isn't about me. This is about the person receiving the messages. And as long as that person knows that their loved ones are still with them, loving, guiding, and protecting them, and more importantly, has learned lessons on the other side, that's all that matters. And then hopefully they'll be open to embracing their own signs and symbols and their own validations. Well, guys, there you have it. If you'd like to give me the opportunity to share my gift with you, just go to my website at teresacaputo.com. If you want to keep hearing these shows, please subscribe wherever you listen and be sure to write a review at Apple Podcasts so more people can find the show. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Audiation.
Hey guys, if you're loving Hey Spirit and my new series on Lifetime, Teresa Caputo Raising Spirits, you might love my live show, Teresa Caputo Live. Check out my website at teresacaputo.com for tickets and to see if I'm in a city near you.